Perek in Tanakh is Shoftim Perek Tetvav. Now you'll remember that yesterday we learned how, in going to Timna, Shimshon essentially was beginning his Esek in elements of the Melucha exactly as Yehuda had done in Timna, which was the beginning of the entire Shalshelas HaMalchus, was the source of the conception of Peretz, who became, of course, the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Yishayavi David. Here, too, in this day's Perek, we find Vayhi Miyamim, and so after the events of yesterday's parak, where we found that Shimshon had walked out on his wife in fury, and the family had given over the wife to the friend who had betrayed, together with her, betrayed Shimshon, the days had passed, and it was during the, how do you like that? Yitzir Chitim. Sounds familiar. Vayivkod Shimshon et ishto bigidi izim. Whoops, that sounds familiar too. Of course, that's exactly what Yehuda had done when he sent now the gidi izim to Tamar. The Yitzir Chitim, of course, is exactly what happened in the fields of Beit Lechem. And so he sends her a gidi izim, vayomer avoy al ishti achadra. I want to be left alone with my wife and make up with her and we'll make love. But her father would not allow him to come in, because he said, I was certain, the way you walked out of here, that you hate her guts and will never hear from you again. I wasn't going to leave her to be forever alone, and so I gave her to your friend. Why don't you marry her younger sister? Tina lechami, she's even better than her. You know, comparison. Tina lechataktea. Well, you can simply marry her and be happy. That does it. This time, I am absolutely finished. Anything that I do to the plishtim, nobody can blame me. I'm simply going to repay them with the evil that they have done to me. And all of this is being done in justice. And so Shimshon goes and he catches 300 foxes. Vayikach lapidim, he takes these burning torches. Vayifen zanav el zanav, he ties now the foxes' tails to each other. Vayosem lapid echad ben shnei haznavot patavech, and puts a burning torch right in between. Now this, of course, is one of the wildest stories of Shoftim. And again, it's time to remember that this has been a period of some of the most clearly powerful, amazing, and straightforward leaders who were Nevi'im or Nevi'iyot, who were the ones who were the Gedalei Torah of Deres, where they were talking about Devorah, Otniel, Barak, these were amazing people. But it was also a period of the Kalei Olam, the madmen, the strange people that, with their special personalities, were able to express elements that Klal Yisrael as a whole was unable to express. And they became the specific expressions of times and of periods that needed to find these unique expressions. And as the Gemara tells us, all of them were considered to be Shoftim, and the Bezdin of the worst and least of them, the most lightweight, the Kalei Olam, cannot be looked at any differently than the Beis Din of the greatest, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohanav u'Shmuel b'Kor Yishmo. And here, in one of the strangest stories, is a nutty guy, a superhero, who becomes a superhero stud, and is now catching these foxes, ties their tails to each other, lights the lapidim, vayaver esh b'lapidim, lights the torches, and lets them go right into the fields of the plishtim. And the reason that he took shualim, says the Gemara, is because the shual, when you're trying to get it, it starts moving backwards. It's chozer la'achorav. The plishtim, he said, they walked backwards for the promise that they had made. Yavo, let the mish chozer la'achorav. And v'yiparam miplishtim shechazru b'shvuatam. So he was being meramis to them that they were people that were unreliable, that went back on their words, just as had been done to him personally. But it was his personal life that was being used as a message that no one could actually prove was a message. And so he let them go into the grown grain of the plishtim, v'yav er migadish v'ad kama v'ad kerem zayit. And so they ended up burning down all of the tefuah that was connected to the ground, all of the tefuah that had already been processed and was sitting now in the piles, and all the way into the various orchards that they had had for their olives, and laid a swath of destruction across the plishtim. Vayomru plishtim mi asa zot? And so the plishtim immediately began questioning, who did this? Vayomru Shimshon chatan atimni. It's that crazy Jew, the one who married into the family from that guy from Timna. Kilakachat ishto, vayitna lemereyehu. It's because wasn't a message that had breached him. It was because of the way they had treated him. They had promised him a wife, took away his wife, and gave it to somebody else. And so the Plishtim, indeed, seeing it as an injustice that had been done to Shimshon, they went ahead and attacked the family. And they went and burned down exactly what the Meraim said they would do. They went and they burned down the house of the wife, the family, and destroyed it all on their own. So Shimshon said to them, well, im tasut kazot, if you do this kind of thing, though that could mean Shimshon now not speaking to them on the spot, of course, Shimshon sending a message, if this is the way the Plishtim act, referring to the actual event, or if the Plishtim at least have enough sense to recognize that I'm in the right, still, I need to get my own little revenge. Kim nakamti b'chem v'achar kach erdal. But I'll only take one revenge, and then I'll be a good boy. And so he attacks them and beats them to a pulp. Those who are riding on the shok, meaning those who are on horses, and those who are on their feet. And he, after destroying the entire group of the Plishtim, beating them, he went, Vayered Vayeshev B'Se'if Sela Etam. So Se'if is basically the edge, it's a cliff, the edge of the Sela, a piece of rock that juts out. And there it was that he stayed. And the Plishtim were not at all happy about this attack. Vayalu Plishtim Vayachanu B'Yehuda Vayinatru B'Lechi. And so the Plishtim came with an army and set around their troops in an area called Lehi, which is interesting because, of course, what happens here is all about a jawbone, which is a Lehi. And it's very possible that it was only called Lehi, as some of the Mefarshim suggest, after the events of the jawbone. But Yomru Ish Yehuda, now here we are in the area of Yisrael that was supposed to be the main stronghold. As we learned earlier in Yoshua, Yehuda is there protecting you from the south. Well, it appears that the Plishtim had free reign in Yehuda, as we'll see later. Vayomru Ish Yehuda. And so Ish Yehuda asks the Plishtim, Lama alitem aleinu? We've been very good boys. We've been behaving. Why are you attacking us? Vayomru le'esor et Shimshon aleinu. La'asot lo kasher asa lanu. We've come to arrest this Shimshon character. All you need to do is hand him over. We need to do to him what he's done to us. Vayerdu 3,000 ish miyuda. With Shimshon's reputation, they figured it would take 3,000 men to arrest him. So they sent 3,000 men from Yehuda to the place where Shimshon was hanging out, El Seif Sela Etan. Vayomru leShimshon, halo yadata ki moshlim bano plishtim. Do you not understand that we are under the thumbs of the plishtim? Mazot asit alono. What are you trying to do here? Start a national war? A rebellion? Vayomru lehem, not at all. Which, of course, is exactly the words that the Plishtim themselves used. We want to do to him what he did to us. And what Shimshon says, I simply did to them what they did to me. So this is a feud, not a war. And this is hachel. This is not a deliverance. And this is an ish echad. This is an individual, not a shevet. And therefore, it has nothing to do with Ish Yehuda. It has nothing to do with Yisrael. It's my own business. So they told him, well, we have no choice. We've come to arrest you. Letitcha biyat plishtim, but to hand you over to the plishtim. Vayomer lehem Shimshon, yishav uli, pentiv geun biyatem. I will allow you to arrest me, but swear to me that you will not yourselves hurt me in any way. Vayomer lo lemor, lo, we certainly will not hurt you. Ki asor ne'asorcha, all we're interested in doing is arresting you, and the tanucha biyadam, and we'll hand you over to them. We will not hurt you. We will not kill you. And so they tie him up with three thick, brand new cables. And they drag him up from the place where he was hiding amongst the rocks. And so he gets to Lehi, where the Plishtim were. The Plishtim were overjoyed, let out a shout, blew on their trumpets. And at that moment, he was filled once again with his superhero spirit from Hashem. Those thick ropes that were on his hands were as nothing. They were like the weak flax, raw flax that had all, even been burned in fire. They simply melted. The ropes melted off of his hands. And so he bends down. He finds a still wet just now ripped out of a skull, a jawbone of a chamor. Vayishlach yado, he grabs it, vayikachea, vayach ba'elef ish. He destroys 1,000 men by smashing them with this jawbone. Vayomer Shimshon, as he apparently enjoyed punning and riddling. Ha, says Shimshon, v'lechia chamor chamor chomorotayim. Ha ha, I use the jaw of an ass. Two, this is all a play on words, it's a pun. Chamor means to gather a great pile, and a chomer is a measurement of an immense pile. And this was two. So I took a chomer, and I've got myself now two chomerim of dead bodies here. That's great. All I needed was a jawbone of an ass to kill 1,000 of these idiots. And as he stopped speaking, he threw it down. They called the name of that place the Hill of Lehi. And at that moment, Vayitzmama Odi suddenly became so immensely thirsty. Vayikral Adonai Vayomar called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said, Atanatata biyad avdecha et ha-teshua ha-gidola hazot. You've given me this immense, immense event of saving. Ve'ata amut batzama v'nafalti biyad ha-arelim. Again, stress the arelim. Now if I die, I will fall into their hands. So this was all. This little sentence tells us so much about him, of his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his awareness of that what he's doing is to destroy the arelim specifically, and how concerned he is not to fall into their hands. Vayivka Elohim et ha-machtesh asher balechi, even though he had, a moment ago, spoken highly of himself, which caused him to faint from thirst, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard his tefillah, and at that moment opened up the machtesh asher balechi. The simple meaning is there was a crater in the town of Lehi, but in context, clearly, it's the machtesh in the Lehi HaChamor, so that in one of the actual pits for the teeth and the skull, water gushed forth from the Lehi. And the reason that he was answered, says the Medrash, through a chamor, which is a chayat meya, is because since he had a taiva for things that are tame, therefore his life became dependent in things that were tame. And this was all the bracha, ma'ayan mi'ein b'ben shinav. This was with the schus of the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, yizanek min habashan, is a remez, mi'ben shinav, between the teeth, mi'bashan. Of course, we'll see the simple meaning in the prokim to come. And so vayetzu mimenu mayim vayesht, water gushed out, you drank it, vatoshav rucho vayechi. And his spirit came back to him and he lived. Al kein karash ma'in hakore, asher balechi ad hayom hazeh. In HaKore means that it was because of his kriya to Hashem, that it was Koveya the Shem, to indicate that he recognized that his Yeshua came. He was the last Shofet, and he calls himself Eved. And he himself is very few that were Zeicha, very few that would even have the chutzpah to define themselves as Eved Hashem. And he is listed here in the Pasuk as the one that calls himself Avdecha. And so Ein HaKore becomes now a simen ad hayom hazeh of the Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to those who are Mispalah. There is, of course, today an Ein HaKore. There's even a Tzomet Ein HaKore on the new highway 431. And this Ein HaKore is still now in the area of Rishon LeZion. And we call the Ein HaKore, in our, wherever we talk about, in the Hoshanas, we speak about Shimshon, L'man Yachid. And again, we recognize him, that he's a Yachid, an individual. Hashem Yirechem L'Nazir Hukdash, Mimachtesh Lechi, Yivkat Elomayim. L'man Shem Kodshecha Hoshana. This becomes now a makor of Yeshua for Klal Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. It's not simply the name of a place. Vayishpot et Yisrael bimei plishtim esrim shana. So as opposed to the other shoftim, all of the other shoftim, where we have in Yonim of their defeat of the enemies. And we talk about Vayishkot Haaretz, or we talk about periods in which Vayikana. In this case, it was absolutely Bimei Plishtim. It was all the time of the Shlita of the Plishtim, and it was for 20 years that he was a Shefet of Yisrael. And that was the time of the Huchal. The Huchal, as the Gemara points out in Seita, is Miloshen Lo Yachel Devaro, that this was the beginning of the end of the Yischaivus to the Plishtim because of the Shvua of Avimelech, and therefore began indeed the Yeshua that would end up being the Yeshua from the Plishtim long after his time.